He says, and take the helmet of salvation. We've been dealing with these genitives in the Greek. And this is, once again, another one of those genitives of apposition where it actually means, what it's saying is, take the helmet, which is salvation. No, you didn't get that. You didn't understand that. Take the helmet. Don't look for a Roman helmet. Don't look for a football helmet. Don't look for a motorcycle helmet. He said, I'm going to tell you what the helmet is. Take the helmet, which is salvation. Be sure of your salvation. And you know, this word helmet, oh man, this is powerful. This word helmet in the Greek comes from two words, perikephale. You know what peri means? Around. You know what kephale means? Head. What did he say? Around your head have what? Salvation.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We will continue with our series, Looking for a Reason to Fight, with part two of the Helmet of Salvation, which is based on Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. So please join us for tonight's teaching, the conclusion of the Helmet of Salvation from our series, Looking for a Reason to Fight.
Out and said that all religions fit into one of three categories. They're either atheistic, believe in no God, polytheistic, believe in many gods, or monotheistic, believe in one God. Well, this took me a long time to do, so I can't do it this morning. But we knocked out atheism right away. I mean, from a logical standpoint and from a biblical standpoint. The fool has said in his heart there's no God. So that was knocked out. We knocked out polytheism from a logical standpoint, from a biblical standpoint. Polytheism. You can't have polytheism and have an ultimate God. Because if you got a whole lot of gods, then you don't have a God. You got a lot of superpowers, you got a lot of superheroes, but you don't have one God, so we knock out polytheism. So when you knock it down, there's only three choices left: Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. And then when you begin to reason through that, my conclusion is that Christianity makes the best sense. Christianity is the only thing that provides a savior for a man who is helpless to save himself. That all the good that we can do, that the other two religions promote, you know, live right, do right, all the good that we can do, just think about all the good. Think about all the good things that you've ever done for anybody. Think about all the nice Christmas presents that you've given, and people smiled when they gave you that, when they got that Christmas present. Think about all the deeds of charity that you've ever done, and people smiled when they got that, received that charity. And then think about some of the things that you thought about last week. I would hate to have to depend upon my righteousness getting me to heaven. Because I do a lot of good things, but I know sometimes, man, you know, evil. What did Paul say? When I want to do good, evil is present within me. So that would just cancel out all the good that I did. All that good that you did, I told y'all last week, I said something to somebody that I shouldn't have said. Now, that didn't. I went and visited somebody in the hospital and prayed with them. As soon as I said that, what I said to that person, you know what? That hospital visit was canceled out. Canceled out. I mean, if I believe that, right? If I believe that my good is going to get me in, then that means that the bad is going to be weighed against me too. So any good that I do, whenever I do bad, is canceled out. Thank God for Christianity. Because it's not dependent on me. It's dependent on him. And I know that Jesus Christ paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. So that's why I say Satan has deceived a lot of folks that are out there today. They've been deceived to believe a lie. The second thing that we need the helmet, the second reason we need the helmet, to protect against the blow of doubt. Look at Job chapter 2. Job chapter 2. To protect against the blow of doubt.
And we all know the history of the story. Satan came to attack Job and took his family, his possessions, and even his health. And then look at verse 9 of Job chapter 2. What does Satan, what is his objective? His objective is to get us to doubt God. And here we see the attack came through Job's wife. Verse 9, then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." What was she trying to get him to do? What if Job would have did what she said? Then he would have been doubting God. He would have said, "Well, you know what? Maybe you're right, man. You know, before it just seemed like God was in control and we had all these blessings and our life was blessed and we had children and we had possessions and I had my health and now all that's gone. I really wonder if there's a God. I really wonder what God is doing." And I like what Job said. Job said, but he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we receive not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips." Back when I was doing the study, when the movie The Da Vinci Code came out, there was an article that I was reading, and it was from the Radio Bible class. Somebody had emailed the people at the Radio Bible class, and this is what this person said. "Dear RBC, I don't know where else to turn. I pray to God that you can help me. I began to read the book by Dan Brown called The Da Vinci Code. It was an interesting book until I got to the part where he's talking about how Christianity began and how it's all false, and that Christianity is basically a lie and stolen from pagan religions. The secret societies, the Holy Grail, the church changing facts, removing parts of the Bible, is it all true? So much of it makes sense. There were things that I had heard before and ignored, but now I have to know. In the last 25 years, I've been a Christian, and it seems like it was all a lie. Was Jesus just a man? Did it all really happen? Was he married to Mary Magdalene? Is everything I was raised to believe just made up for the sake of money? I have to know. I don't know where else to turn. Now I'm doubting if there's a heaven, if there's a God, if there's a Jesus. Please help me. Please. In God's name, help me. I'm brokenhearted, confused, and still crying." Now what? The helmet of salvation. What does it do? It protects against the blows of doubt. That whenever you have the helmet on, Satan is going to hit you just like he hit this lady. "Well, you know what? You've been a Christian all these years. You should be further along than you are. You know, why? How come you're sick now? You know, everybody else that's unsaved, you know, they got their health. They're serving God. How come you're sick? How come it seems like you're struggling in your life when everybody else is blessed?" You know, what does Satan do? He wants to bombard your mind with thoughts that put the doubt about God, about his word in your mind. And that's what happened to this lady right here. He hit her, and he hit her hard. She needed the helmet of salvation. She needed the helmet of salvation. And then it's to protect against the blow of doctrine. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. The need for the helmet. Why do you need this helmet? 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons." Satan wants to blow you away doctrinally. My brothers and sisters, that's why I'm here to say, make your calling and election sure. Be sure that you are sure that you are saved. Be sure that you are sure that you are born again. Before you go, young people, before you go off to somebody's college, get with these, you know, you had the pastors standing up here this morning, associate ministers. You got great Sunday school teachers, KUC teachers. Get with them and find out what the Trinity is. Find out that the Trinity is one God in three persons, co-equal, co-eternal, and coexisting. Find out about the Trinity. Before you go off to somebody's college, find out who Jesus Christ is.
find out that he's not only the Son of God, but he's God the Son. Before you go to somebody's college, find out about the Word of God. Find out that the Word of God is the book of God. As I always say, the Bible must have been inspired of God and not of men. I could not if I would believe. A good man wrote it to deceive, and a bad man would not, if he could, proceed to write a book so good. So it must be that God inspired words that souls of prophets fired. Oh, believe in this book. Find out about the Trinity. Find out about Jesus Christ. Find out about the Word of God. Find out about salvation. Realize that Jesus Christ died on the cross in your place. He was your substitute. You should have hung on the cross. Jesus Christ took your place on the cross. Get fired up in your doctrine. Understand Bible doctrine. Get with somebody before you go somewhere. And you get these professors telling you all this garbage. I was there. I sat under it. I know what they're talking about. You know, they teach you that once I was a monkey hanging in a tree, now I'm a professor with a PhD. So, see, I can say that because I got a doctor, right? You better understand doctrine, because Satan is coming at you, and he's coming at you strong as far as doctrine is concerned. And it just blows my mind the number of young people that go away and come back and say, well, you know, I've been enlightened. You know, I've been shown a new perspective. There's some things that Christianity don't explain, and I don't understand. Well, that's where baby faith comes in. You know, I don't understand electricity. But I know what? When I flip that switch, I expect the light to come on. I don't understand how a brown cow eats green grass and gives white milk. I don't understand that. A lot of things I don't understand. A lot of things you don't understand. But you know what? You got to have faith. Man, Satan is going to bring blows to your head. Oh, let me hurry on. The nature of the helmet. The nature of the helmet. He says, and take the helmet of salvation. We've been dealing with these genitives in the Greek. And this is, once again, another one of those genitives of apposition where it actually means, what it's saying is, take the helmet, which is salvation. No, you didn't get that. You didn't understand that. Take the helmet. Don't look for a Roman helmet. Don't look for a football helmet. Don't look for a motorcycle helmet. He said, I'm going to tell you what the helmet is. Take the helmet, which is salvation. Be sure of your salvation. And you know, this word helmet, oh man, this is powerful. This word helmet in the Greek comes from two words, perikephale. You know what peri means? Around. You know what kephale means? Head. What did he say? Around your head have what? Salvation. Around your head have salvation. If you don't know a lot of things, you know, this would be one thing that you know, that you're saved. You see, I don't know much about history, and I don't know much biology. I don't know much about a science book. And I don't know much about the French I took. But there's one thing that I do know. I know I'm saved. There's one thing I do know. I know I'm saved. You see, I found a friend who was all to me. His love is ever true. And I love to tell how he lifted me and what his grace can do for you. Saved by his power divine. Saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet. Y'all didn't hear me. Life now is sweet, and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. Oh, I know. I know I'm saved.
Paul said, when Satan begins to attack you and he begins to launch all these blows against your head, getting you to doubt and deal with struggles in your doctrine and be deceived, he said, one thing you need to know for sure. You need to know that you know that you know that you were born again. You need to know that you're saved. Let me ask you this morning, my brothers and sisters, do you know? Do you know that you're saved? As we think about salvation, we think about some great truths in salvation. We think about election, and that is that God elected me for salvation, that God chose me to be saved. Oh, I don't want to get into a discussion this morning about whether the election is based upon the sovereignty or foreknowledge. That's for the theologians to debate after a while. All I'm saying is that God saw me, God loved me, and God chose me. Paul said, take the helmet, which is salvation. Oh, you know what that means? That means think about your salvation. That you know what? If your mind is filled with thoughts of salvation, Satan can't do anything with you. He can't cause you to doubt. He can't deceive you. He can't discourage you. And he can't defeat you. If your mind is filled with this great salvation that we have. Oh, I wrote a song. I'm a songwriter. Y'all know that. Y'all know that. I just read one of the songs that I wrote for you. I wrote another song. Let me share with you this other song I wrote. I ain't got time to think about money and what it can buy. And I ain't got time to sit down and wonder what makes a bird fly. And I don't have the time to think about what makes the flower grow. And I never give it a second thought to where the rivers flow. You see, I'm too busy thinking about my Jesus. And I ain't got time for nothing else. Too busy thinking about Jesus. And I ain't got time for nothing else. Election, the fact that God loved me. And vocation, the fact that God chose me. And conversion. See, election and vocation are before salvation. Conversion is during salvation. And that is when I turned away from my sin and I turned to faith in God and he saved my soul. And I remember one Sunday night, y'all know the story. One Sunday night over at a little church in Turtle Creek, Pastor Berkeley took me to church with him. Just had been high the night before. Wasn't thinking about the things of God, but he took me to church with him. And I got sobered up enough to hear that gospel message. And as I sat there and God began to speak to me, and they gave the invitation, and the pastor was calling for people to come forward. And the devil said, you're not going to go forward in this church in front of all these white people. And the devil was trying to discourage me from coming forward. And I came forward that night. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, it was raining outside. It was thundering and lightning outside. It was storming outside. But outside, man, it seemed like my whole world had lit up. God had lifted that burden of sin off my back. And my whole world felt light. Conversion. This great salvation. Man, just go back and think about your testimony. Think about your conversion. Think about your thoughts. Think about all the things in your mind that God has done for you in salvation. Man, it'll take away all the discouragement, the doubt, and everything else. Well, I got a few more things I want to say, but I'm gonna close as I say this. And you guys, get ready, because I'm getting ready to go through the next real fast, all right? So don't leave me back there, all right? But there was a guy, him and his son. They enjoyed the arts. I mean, Picasso and Rembrandt, and they just had a love for the arts. And as they had a love for the arts, the son was called to go to war in Vietnam. And as he went to the war in Vietnam, he ended up being killed. And it just devastated the father, because the father loved his son so much. And so one day, there was a knock on the door. And he opened the door, and there was a soldier at the door.
And he said that me and your son got to be pretty good friends while we were over there. And we had a great relationship. And you know, I drew a picture because I knew he liked paintings. And I drew this picture. I painted this picture of your son. And it's kind of rude and it's kind of crude. But, you know, something just told me to bring it by here. He brought the picture. The man took the cover off of it. And, man, it just reminded him of his son, his eyes and his face, his feature. Man, it just gripped his heart. And it reminded him of his son so much that he took it and he hung it over the mantle on the fireplace. Well, the man died, and he had all these paintings worth millions of dollars, and they began to auction off his estate, and people knew that he had all these paintings, and they came from all over the country because they wanted to be able to bid on one of these paintings. And the auctioneer took the painting of the son and put it up there and said, "Who will give me $10 for this painting?" And nobody said anything. He said, $10, $10. Will somebody give me $10? Won't somebody give me $10 for this painting?" And somebody said, "Look, why don't you put that painting down and get to the rest of them? That's why we're here." He said, "No, we can't move on until I sell this one." So finally, this old gentleman, tattered clothes, who used to be this man's gardener, came up and said, "I'll give you $10 for the painting." And the auctioneer said, $10? Who'll give me $20? Somebody said, "Look, just close it out so we can move on to the rest." Nobody gave $20. $10 sold to the man with the tattered clothes. The auction is over. "What do you mean the auction is over? We all came from miles around to come." The stipulation was, whoever bought the painting of the son got everything else. And I'm here to tell you that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all these things you got. You got justification. You've been declared right with God. You've got regeneration. You've got an impartation of a new nature. You've got reconciliation. Whereas one time you were enemy with God, now you are friend with God. You've got adoption. That is, you've been placed into the family of God. You've got union with Christ. That means that Christ is in you and you are in Christ. You've got sanctification. That means that you've been separated from evil and dedicated to God. And you've received perseverance, eternal life. That means that you'll always be with the Father. And then one day, you're going to receive glorification. And that is, you will be free from the presence of sin. Wow. You mean all that happened to me when I got saved? Yes. You mean just by taking the son, I got all that? Yes. Yes. Oh, this great salvation that we have. This great salvation that we have. God thought it. Christ brought it. The Holy Spirit taught it. Satan fought it. The dying thief sought it. And thank God I got it. Praise God for salvation today. Salvation. You mean to tell me all that happened to me when I got saved? Yes, it did. And Paul said, and take the helmet of salvation.
Thank you for joining us on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the first half of the Sword of the Spirit from our series, Looking for a Reason to Fight. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of the Helmet of Salvation, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and asking for the Helmet of Salvation or program number 061119. Once again, that's 877-831-5060 and ask for the Helmet of Salvation or program number 061119. Keep in mind that the entire 12-part series entitled Looking for a Reason to Fight is also made available upon request. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus Radio Program at 7745 Ty Oka Street, Pennsylvania, 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus Radio Program at 7745 Ty Oka Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15208. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, is taken from Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. As we conclude, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.